Chapter 28. When the details of this conversation were repeated by Eleanor to her sister, Marianne was naturally upset, but she did not attempt to defend Willoughby, and appeared to believe the story. Eleanor was satisfied to see that Marianne no longer avoided Colonel Brandon when he visited, and now spoke to him with compassionate respect. Though she was no less wretched, her mind became settled in gloomy dejection. Mrs. Dashwood wrote, expressing a disappointment which was hardly less painful than Marianne's, and an indignation even greater than Eleanor's. She told Marianne to bear up with fortitude under her misfortune, and, like Eleanor, believed it would be best for her to stay in London rather than return to Barton, where everything she saw would bring back memories of Willoughby. Eleanor was careful to guard her sister from ever hearing any mention of Willoughby's name, and neither Mrs. Jennings, nor Sir John, nor even Mrs. Palmer ever spoke of him in her company, though they damned him as a scoundrel when she was not present. Early in February, Eleanor had the painful task of informing her sister that Willoughby was married. At first, Marianne shed no tears, but she could not conceal her feelings for long. The Willoughbys left town as soon as they were married, and Eleanor was pleased that there could now at least be no danger of a chance meeting with either of them. Chapter 29. As a result of this information, Marianne was eventually persuaded to leave the house for half an hour with Eleanor and Mrs. Jennings. On this occasion, in a shop in town, they had a chance meeting with their brother, who informed them that he and Fanny had been in London 2 days and were staying in Harley Street. The next day, Mr. John Dashwood came to visit his sisters. Soon after his arrival, Colonel Brandon also arrived, and Mr. Dashwood eyed him with curiosity. After half an hour, John asked Eleanor to take a walk with him, and she consented. As soon as they had left the house, his inquiries began. "Who is Colonel Brandon? Is he a man of fortune?" "Yes, he has a very good property in Dorsetshire," answered Eleanor. "I'm glad of it. He seems most gentlemanlike, and I think I may congratulate you on the prospect of a very respectable establishment in life." "Me, brother? What do you mean?" "He likes you. I observed him closely, and I'm convinced of it. He may like me, but I am very sure Colonel Brandon has not the slightest wish of marrying me," Eleanor responded. "You are mistaken, Eleanor. Perhaps at present he may be undecided, and because of the smallness of your fortune, his friends may advise him against it, but there can be no reason why you should not try for him. There is no prior attachment on your side. Colonel Brandon must be the man. Your engagement would be most welcome to all parties. All your friends are anxious to see you settled, Fanny in particular, and her mother too." Eleanor did not answer this. "It would be a fine thing if Fanny should have a brother, and I a sister settling at the same time," he added. "Is Mr. Edward Ferrars to be married?" asked Eleanor. "It is not actually settled, but he has a most excellent mother. Mrs. Ferrars has decided that his future wife should be the Honourable Miss Morton, the daughter of the late Lord Morton. She has inherited a fortune of £30,000. Eleanor said nothing, since she was resolved to keep Edward's engagement to Lucy Steele a secret. Chapter 30. Shortly after their arrival in London, John Dashwood and his wife were introduced to the Middletons. Fanny Dashwood and Lady Middleton both possessed a cold-hearted selfishness, as well as a general ignorance, which made them ideal companions, though Miss Jennings was much less pleased with Mrs. John Dashwood, who she considered proud and rude to her sisters. At around the same time, the Miss Steeles had arrived in town, and Edward also, though Lucy Steele was unable to see Edward for fear of giving their secret away. Edward called on the Miss Dashwoods twice, but both times they were out of the house. Eleanor was pleased that he had called, and still more pleased that she had missed him. John and Fanny Dashwood were so delighted with the Middletons that they decided to invite them to dinner, together with the Miss Dashwoods and the Miss Steeles. Mrs. Ferrars was also to be there, but Eleanor learnt that Edward would not be present. "Pity me, Miss Dashwood," said Lucy to Eleanor before they entered the room. "Only you can know how nervous I am. In a moment I shall meet the woman who is to be my mother." Eleanor knew that Mrs. Ferrars had other plans, but said nothing. Mrs. Ferrars was a small, thin woman with a very serious manner. She was a woman of few words, and did not speak once to Eleanor, whom she eyed with the spirited determination of disliking her. By contrast, both Mrs. Ferrars and Fanny Dashwood were gracious and friendly towards the Miss Steeles. Eleanor was amused at the irony of this situation. Had they known as much as she did, they would not have been so well disposed towards Lucy. After a very grand dinner, John Dashwood showed Colonel Brandon some paintings by Eleanor. "These are done by my eldest sister," he said, "and you, as a man of taste, will no doubt be pleased with them." Colonel Brandon admired them warmly, which excited the curiosity of the others present. "Hm," said Mrs. Ferrars, without looking at them, "very pretty." "They are rather like Miss Morton's style of painting," said Fanny. "She paints most delightfully." "Beautifully indeed," replied her mother, "but she does everything well." "Who is Miss Morton to us?" cried Marianne, who was already greatly displeased with Mrs. Ferrars. "Who knows or cares for her? It is Eleanor of whom we think and speak." "Miss Morton is Lord Morton's daughter," said Mrs. Ferrars coldly. Colonel Brandon's eyes were fixed on Marianne, impressed by her defence of her sister. Marianne turned to Eleanor. "Dear Eleanor, don't let them make you unhappy.